This is good sound waves.
Whatever sounds good.
Well, welcome to Good Sound Waves, part one of whatever part we come up with at the end of Good Sound Waves. Today, we got Smokin' Joe Rodak from Alliance. Is that how you pronounce that? Alliance, Ohio?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Nice to meet you, Joe, for, the 1,000th time in my life?
Good to see you, Joe.
Met you in the 90s. Listening to you now. Other guy, he's here.
Yeah, the other guy is proud to be co-hosting episode number 2 of Good Sound Waves.
I learned how to count in old Louisville. So, yep, we're on the right template here. So, first and foremost, I'm going to just say, Joe, what music is to me is probably one of the closer things it is to anybody that likes it. But first song that ever got you, I want to try to figure that out.
Oh, first song that ever got me.
Yeah, the one you were like, how do you do that? Might have been after you started playing, might have been like what got you started playing, but like the whole hammer-on
technique. I gotta honestly say, probably just the music in the home, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're hearing it all the time, Joey.
I think that's a standard.
The other guy always likes to say I'm like a lifelong musician, but I think I was a cradle musician.
A cradle, force-fed, yeah. I was pretty sure. Okay. I was always told I was conceived at a Guns N' Roses concert.
My mom taught till she dropped, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With all the kids.
So your mother was teaching her whole life.
Yeah, whole life, yeah.
When did you start playing? Was it her that started teaching you, or did you start on your own?
Well, that's a trick question.
did she probably
probably played piano first, yeah.
Yeah? Is that what she taught?
Yeah.
Was the piano?
Yeah, mom.
And at what point did you transition to guitar, since that's what you're...
Simultaneously. I played piano and then realized it was somewhat complicated, but I kept playing it. But at the same time, I learned guitar.
Was it an electric guitar you started with, or an acoustic?
Acoustic, dude.
Yeah.
A hand-me-down.
Yeah.
For my bro, who I wish I would have been here tonight, because you always talk about influences.
Your brother?
Yeah, because my mother and my brother, two top influences, yeah.
That's crazy.
Then you can say all the bands and stuff like
that. Both of my brothers, they love music too, but they like that really fast tempo. Sounds like a printer to me, but I like it.
I heard everything, from mom. Hers was the classics, the Bach to Beethoven. Of course, Christmas every year back then, everybody played and sang.
Yeah.
That was all glorious music, or very deep. Deep emotional dynamic music, learning that. That's where you get your motion. That's, I think, where I got.
That's why you.
Plus, my mom being all French. so I got
figure out who's a baritone real fast at family functions.
Well, no, it was that's where I get a lot of my emotion. And
passion
now,
through.
We know where you started learning and why you started learning to a certain degree, but like, what kind of influences have you had as you've been going along playing?
Well, after again, my brother was one of my biggest influences. What I mean by that is he turned me on to different bands. I don't know if he officially turned me on to, but probably my first favorite band was the Beatles.
Really?
Good old John, Paul, and George. And
now,
Ringo.
There's a question within a question. Yeah. What's your favorite Beatles song? I would say album.
Beatles song? I could tell you that right away. It's probably While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Of course, George.
Do you
it's
find
a
yourself,
George song.
Because I feel like every year I learn that, wow, the Beatles wrote that one, or at least McCartney wrote that one too. Like, how many songs are coming out still? It's like, whoa.
Well, I still learn Beatles songs. And the last one I picked up, and the reason why I wanted to learn it was, I heard this lead guitar, and I'm going, I could play this. And then I came to find out it wasn't a George solo. It was a John solo. So, I could figure it out, but I could never figure out a George Harrison solo. If you ask me, he's the master, one of the masters. Just some of the licks he just did from, you name it, from when to when. An extra strum, just a little extra. I couldn't touch George. So he was George Harrison, in my opinion, was probably the best lead guitar player.
Even when it comes to like just lead kind of pickoffs like that up and down the board.
I've learned bits and pieces of his.
Yeah.
Yeah. His rhythms, bits and pieces, but again.
Yeah, he
solos, you know what I mean?
He definitely has a wide spectrum of them, so it's kind of a nice attitude to have with it, because George Harrison kind of went undercover for so long because of the way John and Paul were. But
well, it's like learning all the other ones. Sometimes you can't learn them note for note, so you just ad-lib them, but you can't. To try to pick up George Harrison was just, you couldn't just pick him up that easily.
Yeah, to go through the gauntlet to get there.
You gotta learn, sit down and learn. But he was really, I never was able to touch any of his stuff. I mean, learn any of it.
Yeah.
Some of his lead licks. I don't know, maybe a few, I don't know. I play a lot of Beatles songs, but not his lead licks, not that many of them.
Yeah.
You know, big solos.
They got beautiful lyrics. I like their...
But I still learn them.
Yeah, they're
but
fun.
It was a John solo.
Oh.
That's what I ended up learning.
That's what I like to play on the piano, is a lot of Beatles. I mean, I don't want to say like they're just basic,
play,
but they're kind of...
Do you play piano for Beatles?
I dabble on the ivories.
Should have you come play.
Ah, okay.
Can you do what's his name?
What's
who was
his
the
name?
Beatle pianist?
John Lennon.
Oh, who was the other cat?
Should I name all four Beatles?
No. Who was the other cat who played keyboards? Who played keys on Get Back?
Get Back? Who played... Oh, my goodness. That was
This turned into a quiz show real quick.
Well, I am not going to put it all on the line today, Alex, but I'm going to go with the other Beatle for 4,000. Ringo?
No, I'm forgetting his name, but it was
Billy Preston.
Billy Preston, there it is.
According to the internet.
You ever heard of him?
I can't even say I knew that because I
didn't. You ever heard of him?
I've heard the name, yeah.
Billy Preston.
Well, he's done a lot of good songs, but I didn't know that he was a part of that.
Sorry, didn't mean to stump the host.
Real nice. Well, that's why we have you on. Thanks for coming. Very nice.
Now, do you have any musical styles that you prefer playing over another? Because a lot of what you talked about already is kind of like a bluesy, classic rock almost kind of sound.
Well, you know, Joe asked me about like the band. Okay, the Beatles. Okay, you want to, you know, step up to probably my next influence was probably Led Zeppelin. But again, my brother was tossing all sorts of things in there. I got some, whoever came around at that time, you know what I mean? Whether it was, I don't know if I got these in order or not, you know, there's Neil Young, there's Boston. I remember, man, that Boston first album, on Put the Cans On, you're like, oh my God, you know what I mean? You know, they say, what album blew you away? Well, that was one that blew me away.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it sold like a bazillion album overnight, you know, it's, again. But yeah, so many influences. You ask what they are, my biggest. I would say I'm pre-80s. I'll still stick to that. I'm pre-80s. I like the pre-80s. What's this called? Default settings.
Default settings. We've already asked you some of those. Smoke and Joe had suggested for Good Sound Waves to have the default settings where we ask you
break
when you started playing,
beginning.
You know. I got to take my glasses off to read this close. Hold on a second. I think I just bent the frame. That's awesome. Your motivation, your influences, favorite guitar used, what kind of training you've had, those kind of things. So I'd actually like to know that one. What was your favorite guitar that you've ever gotten to use and why?
My first guitar was a Penco Custom, which was a copy of a Gibson Epiphone or a Gibson Les Paul.
Oh, boy.
And I've usually mostly used Les Paul copies. Don't get me wrong, I've strayed and played the Strats many a time. I got a Floyd Rose, and BC Rich was thrilling. I had a BC Rich, which somebody liked better than I did, because I ended up losing two of them because somebody liked them better than I did.
Were they like the jagged cut
kind
of BC
Rich? They were beautiful.
Yeah.
The first one was a Seagull, which was the prototype to the Mockingbird.
Right.
Okay. Which I had both of them, and the second one that was like laid out, really laid out. They were both laid out. First one was mahogany with like extra preamps built into it.
Oh,
this
was cool.
Made like 72, dude. The original BC Rich Seagull, it was called.
Wow.
And then I got one in like the 70s?
Oh, man.
Later 70s or early 80s. Mid 80s, it was called a Mockingbird then. And the one I got was a candy apple red, mother of pearl inlay, chrome on chrome, gold trim with extra fretboard and everything. I had extended fretboard.
Bells, whistles.
And it had a whammy bar, and Chuck Gattuso said, good old Gattuso's, he said, you got to go home and learn how to use that. And I did. You can hear it in here a little bit. But Chuck told me to use that. I learned to use the whammy, so I learned to use the whammy bar, yeah.
You have been teaching for a while, showing other people how to play?
That's a good way of putting it, Mr. OG. I've showed people lots of things ever since I've been playing, especially when I was a teenager. That's probably when it first started. When you knew something more than somebody else, and if you wanted them to play, you taught it to them.
Right.
If you wanted somebody else to jam with you. So even as a teenager, I showed a lot of guys stuff, just so I could get some riffs in. That's what it's all about, is just jamming.
That's
so,
the truth of it, too.
Since then, I've instructed and never liked my mother again. Comes back to that. But I love teaching. He who can teach, in pursuit of the furthest.
Hey-o.
So, yeah, just contact Good Sound Waves. Good Sound Waves.
Whatever sounds good.
I was going to ask you, of the music that you've put out thus far, is there any particular piece that you're most proud of, and why would that be?
When you started to say that, the first thing I thought of was probably the first thing I ever wrote. There you go.
Yeah.
Now that he zips through that, probably comes back to like that first song that met, Snow Lady, which transferred to She's No Lady, which turned to She's a Lady. Because it had a better connotation, I'd prefer to play it Snow Lady, because that was the reason why I wrote it, But yeah, again, my oldest tunes, which I reinvent, old licks.
Yeah.
We just ended up reinventing them. After hearing from all the other people we've heard over all these years, you hear so many licks.
Right.
You absorb some. What did you ask? You asked about lessons. I told you, if you went home and did a lesson, and let's say you just listened to Jimi Hendrix for about a year and tried to pick him up, you would pick something up, okay? Easy enough said. If you had some know-how.
I went and listened to Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd about 1,000 times before. I just learned that, down, 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 that little motion right there, but it seemed like it was impossible to do.
You talk about Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd used to intimidate me.
Right.
And then I heard somebody play it. I said, oh, well, that cat's playing it. I guess I could play it.
And right.
And so I learned a little, and then I learned more, and then there was...
But that's the kind of music to where it's either everybody knows the words and singing along with it that makes it righteous, or people are playing with you, and they're filling in the gaps on it. Because Pink Floyd's so such a layered kind of music to where... It's not a pure justice of just one guy on one guitar playing.
Well, you mentioned Pink Floyd, and I mentioned like Zeppelin and Beatles. A lot of times when I end up jamming with the dudes or with guys or girls, whatever, who I jam with, it ends up those tunes being our better songs. But why? Because I played them a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
The Neil Young,
all
those old standards and stuff. Again, I blame my brother, and I blame, don't blame him so much. I'm thrilled he turned me on to them. And
Isn't it a blessing, though, I say that all the time. Like, it is a blessing to be able to play like that, because a lot of people just wish they could.
But, yeah, all those dudes influenced me, but still, I think I got my passion and emotion from my mom and from my French side, and just from being musically inclined. My dad played, too, don't get me wrong. Oh. That's where it comes back. I was a cradle musician.
Yeah. My dad always had the radio on, but it wasn't like the... it was just always classic rock, hair metal.
I heard mellow stuff. I heard mellow stuff, lots of stuff. That stuff...
That would have been way better, because I got sick of AC/DC quick, real quick.
I didn't play that till somebody asked me to play it, more or less.
That brings it along.
My first books were Beatles and then Zeppelin, and back in the day where you had to pick the needle off the record to listen to the song again and try to pick up a lick.
Yeah.
Then we got lucky, and then we had the rectangular tape recorder where you could rewind a little and... Now we're all everybody.
The golden age.
You can go to YouTube now and get somebody's rendition of an old cover, an old standard, and learn to play it. But But if I do that kind of stuff anymore, I want to do some choice ones, ones right. that I know I can do best instead of
yeah.
not making a fool of yourself, too. Well, it's, you know, that's like doing Freebird, but not doing a solo.
Right. That's okay. what I turned down. Tom Petty, Johnny Cash, because it's so, no, everybody, I'm like, no.
I'd like to play, I'd like to play where there's all the singing and stuff, but when the hard yeah. solo comes in, everybody's, I can't touch those guys. I'm sorry. I'm not going to try and touch those guys.
Nope. I say the same
and I've been pressed into trying to touch those guys. Now I frown upon that if somebody pushes me upon that. Don't get me wrong. I'll go into another Skinner tune and do another little rhythm thing.
Right. Yeah.
And then I'll do another rhythm thing. Don't get me wrong, there's some Skinner solos I would attempt, but Freebird's not like one of them. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll try some Skinner licks. Don't get me wrong, I've played many of solo guitarists and done Skinner songs and played them live.
Play Freebird!
Well, three steps. I used to tear that up all by myself, solo guitar player, in bands, live. Back to teaching. I'll teach kids parts of songs, the end of Stairway to Heaven. So. And then when I write my stuff, now, of course, I all got all means to my songs, the ones that I create, titles and stuff. And songs I title might have thoughts of words or lyrics or whatever.
But
I'm just doing music, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But because I just come up with the title. But it's, again, when I write my own music, I'm just playing things that I like to my ear.
Yep.
And hopefully the next girl or guy or whoever is going to like it. And if it sounds good to my ear, then that's, I'm feeling.
Yeah, that's
and then,
true.
Then I'll figure out the other parts to it also.
It's a good sound wave, literally, to the same people.
Yeah, there you go.
That is a great, that's how 2.5 hours go by so fast when you're jamming, because it's like, wow, that was nice. You're soaked in sweat, and you're like, huh.
See, that's another thing. Once in a while, I bring people with some, we do like private practice, but I do bring people out. I brought a buddy out, and he said, man, Joe, you were like a little slow getting started, but every song was better, and every song was better, and you just kept playing, and then, two and a half hours went by.
Yeah.
And that's when this cat walked up, and that's when we got done playing, after two and a half hours went by.
It happens.
So you start a little slow out of the gate, but every song got better. Yeah, well, everybody's got to warm up. I'm still smoking, but I'm a little
simmering. Joe Rodak,
you got a puff on me.
you've been a solo artist through much of your musical career, but there have been bands. According to the Ohio Music Scene Wiki, it shows there's at least 10 different bands you've been a part of. Can you tell us a little bit about your first band and what kind of experience that was?
Oh. Who's listed there?
This is a pop quiz. Let's see if your memory remembers.
I bet it's first band.
How many names
are
there?
First band had to have been.
There's a dozen.
Legacy.
There you go. Legacy. We have a winner.
That was easy.
Wow.
Well, why would it be Legacy, Joe?
Legacy? Because that's all you get, right?
What?
Is that an album?
No. That was me and my brother. My brother got the band. He got me in it.
Legacy.
Why do you think we picked Legacy? Because that was our, you know.
That makes sense. That's the second generation, right?
My brother, kind of one of my brother's first, not his first one, but.
Catchier than the Rodax?
Well, it was the Legacy. So that was my first band, yeah.
So you had the band Legacy, and I assume that's probably what your first gig was with. How'd that go? Where was that first gig, and how did it go?
I'm pretty sure I did some recitals on a piano prior to playing.
But was that with Legacy, bro?
No. My first, my first live performances was probably doing piano recitals, but my first guitar live performance was doing Stairway to Heaven on the altar at the St.
Swing for the Fences first time in the spotlight.
St. Louis Church there for eighth grade graduation. So I went 13 years old. That was
wait a minute.
And then my first electric was with Legacy. And that was my first electric with the Legacy. And we played, we had a girl singer, so. Top 40,
yeah.
1979, 1980.
Where was, I'm sure these places might still be around, but I know several venues that used to exist that were pretty cool.
Oh, a memorial moment about them?
Yeah.
Legacy, probably the coolest one was, it was, It was called the Green Latrine, but it was actually the Green Lantern, and it was either down on Minerva or Malvern on this corner.
Yeah.
Really weird bar.
Yeah.
Okay, now what was weird about it is we took a demo in and they loved us right away, so we got booked right away, and we come in there, and this place is packed. I mean, really, really
good
packed,
feeling.
And it's just a little bar, and there's probably like 100 people, and there's probably like, that's probably like 40 too many, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's like a good 100 people there. And the first set we just play, and they just listen to us.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what they did back in the day, too. And this is like 1980, you know what I'm saying? So they just listen to us. And we had a girl singer, and we're tearing off, and we end with like some Benatar, like with Hell It's Children, and they all just listen to us. Nobody did anything. So we took a break, like a 20-minute break came out. First song, everybody was up on a dance floor.
Nice.
And we just like rocked out the rest of the night, of course. But the first set, they just sat back and like listened
what, what's
to
going
you.
On
Lots
here?
Of clubs did that. But that was one of we had the old Green Latrine.
Green Latrine.
Green Lantern. It's not no longer there, of course.
Did you have a favorite venue, new or back then? Because like
what was the favorite venue? Probably a cool favorite venue was JR's place, which was in the that was back in the 80s. That was really cool. JR's place in Canal Fulton Plaza.
Yeah.
When I had my old 80s classic rocker. No, that place is history too.
It seems like
it had a big round bar, and then you'd walk away from the bar, and they had this middle partition where you could look through, and there was the stage, so it was kind of cool.
That's
and a memorable moment. There was many a memorable moment there.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them was, of course, coming out and opening up, and there was a spot, and like I would open, we were a three-piece band, so I'd open a song, and I'd be tearing away on a rhythm, and spot beyond me, spotlight, and then I'd go through four measures of a song, and do a lick, and then the band, the drummer and the bass player would pop in. A lot of those was cool, and then Pink Floyd, doing Pink Floyd back in those days, when you started playing Pink Floyd, everybody just like all of a sudden flocked in to listen.
On the other end of the spectrum, what was your worst experience on the stage? Because I've had those times where you're just like, I really just want to walk the hell off of this stage.
If you want to say that, walk off the stage. I've only had one wherever I wanted to walk off the stage, and that was a guy who was cussing at me because I wasn't playing loud enough.
Oh.
And then he was literally cussing, and it was like going through the mics, and we're like playing one of those animal clubs.
Oh.
You know, playing an animal club, and you shouldn't have cussing.
No.
And he's like, you're not effing loud enough, man. And real loud.
Ooh.
And I said, well, I understand. You know,
okay, you just go like this, man. Just turn your hand.
He actually said, why don't you just get the F out of here? And I almost literally did that, but
right.
I don't leave my other guys hanging.
Right.
So I finished the show. But that was one I almost walked off. One of the worst performances I had was when I was doing a duo with a good buddy of mine, and he got messed up on meds. So make a long story short, he was on another page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
so I'm
six
like,
pages
I'm playing
over.
Like one tune,
different
and he's,
book.
I'm playing one tune, and he's singing another one. So that was kind of rough when you're a duet, and you're going, "Come on, dude, man." So whatever. Shit happens.
Oh yeah.
Of course you have your worst shows.
Now.
And breaking that low E string, like I said.
Yeah. You ever done that live? Broken a string.
Well, in Legacy,
that's
yeah.
as bad as
yeah,
trying
sometimes
to tune.
Three times in one night.
Yeah. That's
when
how
I was
it goes.
First learning, I was like 18 years old,
yeah.
playing in a rock and
I don't
roll
know how
band.
How many times I'd walk into somebody's house and be like, "Yeah, I play guitar with my two chords," and then I'd be like, "Oh, it's so out of tune, pop. Sorry for breaking it."
Yeah, well, no,
it's
I was playing a rock and roll band. We had learned 12, 15 songs, and then got up to 30 songs. And
yeah,
I can honestly say I probably played about, and it's maybe 2,000 songs, which it might seem like a lot. Yeah, 1,500, 2,000, maybe 2,500 songs in my lifetime.
Yeah.
But there's a bazillion songs out there, you know. That, and that I'm talking all those covers I did over the years. Probably about 2,000 by now.
You ever, like, sat down and tried to write them all down? How many?
No. In one band, I had over 250. Remember that oldies band?
Yeah. Every
kind
time
of a couple
that.
Fat Bibles, real fat binders full
yeah.
of tunes.
Yeah.
After playing 5 years with them.
Yeah, usually
I learned 250 songs. That's 50 songs a year. That's one a week.
Ew.
That's not the first time I've learned. Hey, I like writing the one a week. Now when I get with my singer-songwriter, my girl singer-songwriter, and we sit down, if we can get a, if you
the
want to call
J's.
It, the two J's, yeah. if we can get a session in or a practice in or whatever you want to call it, a jam.
Yeah.
Funnest times there is just writing new songs, literally doing two, three brand new originals where I'm coming in, she's got words and she's can sing it.
I've been working on this. I got this.
What can you put on this? And then I just hear something and we try to put it all together or make it through it.
Yeah.
Or make it through all of her lyrics. And then when we're done, we say, well, we take some notes. What did you do there?
Right.
And we pop on and do another one. And of course, we got to try to do the reps on the old stuff. But if it was up to me, it'd be all originals because I hate the sound. The old stuff, it's burnt. I'm burnt on it. You guys are probably burnt on it, and you're half my age to some extent. It's been
live
played a lot.
Live music is a whole different aspect of, like, I'll turn the radio off on some music, but if somebody's playing live, I mean, let that shit rip.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I did a jam. We had a practice, and it was almost a full band. And what I mean by that, there was all the pieces there. There was singing and two guitars and drums and a bass player.
Well, hey.
And we went through a bunch of tunes, but we got to the end. And we're doing this one tune. And the bass player made it through most of the tunes, but he never heard this tune. And I said, well, why don't you just sit out and listen to this one? And we tore off one of me and
now, Jane, how many,
Jamie's originals.
How many instruments can you play? You spoke like piano.
Handful.
Yeah. Have you ever dabbled on a bass?
I teach a little bass, too. I've done the bass parts on my... There's stuff on my music where I've done everything but drums and or sing.
Yeah.
I do not sing. There's some I sang on, some of my old stuff.
I'm trying to be
literally
a singer, and it's
not my old stuff. When I mean my old stuff, my old originals. If I didn't have a singer, I'd say, F it, give me that mic, and I sang it anyhow. We didn't have all the toys we have now where I could probably sound better.
Right, but I mean...
I had guys who was quote-unquote supposed to sing, and...
Never
could. They were there in the studio and they were petrified or whatever, and I said, scared, and I said, give me that thing, and I sang.
Yeah.
And again, they were my songs. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Touching back on how the old stuff is getting old, like, what's different about what you're creating now? It's a little different than what you might be thinking I was going to ask, but what's different about what you create now?
Okay, the old stuff getting old. The pre-80s stuff, the 90s, the pre-2000, the 2000 to 2010, all that stuff, even that's, you know, look what they had at the big game. We can't say where they had it. The big game, they had 90s stars, which are like the classic rock stars of the kids who were born, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But our classic rock stars is the pre-80s, all those cats who started it all in our eyes, but there was the blues guys before them, but we always forget about those.
They're going there, though. I mean, anything before 80 in my book still.
But what was your question again? I'm sorry.
what is
Who
different
are you?
About your,
well, what is different about
your,
is,
the music that you
that
are
I
creating
do.
Now versus before? Not so much.
Is there a personal twist?
My stuff is again stem from those old rock influences. This guy, that guy, and this guy, and this girl, and you name them all. They're all wrapped up, and those are some of the power riffs I'm using or power chords I'm using. And then I got my other guys doing their parts. And again, but we're putting together our own stuff.
Yeah.
It might sound like this guy or that guy, but it's some of my own stuff. And again, what's different is we want to try and, believe it or not, get it on the radio. That's so off the wall, or get it wherever we can get it. Why? Because...
Don't you know the radio's no place?
Whatever, everything
awesome.
killed the radio.
Well, it's coming,
but there's
back
still those
ever.
Those people who actually believe, and I won't say who they are, and it's still a neat concept to, if you knew the program director at www whatever, where you see him walking into the office, here buddy, and hand him your CD and hand him your CD and if you don't listen to it, give it to him a month later, and then this guy
I'll
might want to listen to this cat if he's bugging my ass. That's old school.
Yeah,
I'm old school, you know. I still believe in
the door-to-door thing.
Yeah, the door-to-door or out of your trunk.
I hate to say,
there's lots of things. It's still, I love to play live.
live is, it's a rush, man. It is a rush. Even whenever it goes south, realm. It's a rush, but yeah.
Even now, at my young age, I still get goosebumps and hair raises.
Big time, big time. Do you,
especially playing my own stuff, though.
That's too. It, too. I try to sneak it's it just, in there. I'll play just, like three songs everybody knows, and then.
And again, you know, I was saying we got together as the whole group, and we did some covers and standards. The ones that were better ones, I don't like to brag, but the ones I played the longest know the best.
Yeah.
They're going to always turn out the best,
yeah,
which is you're having fun with it.
Comfortable with.
The originals were really good, too. But when you have our guest bass player, get this, I couldn't believe, he said that when we got done playing, what was it, My Friend the Demon, which was a tune me and Jamie wrote,
yeah.
Which is some licks I reinvented.
Really?
I've used it like...
I believe that would be
Three, four times. The third time I'm using this, some of these licks. When cats say, that's some of the best stuff I ever heard. You guys wrote this.
Yeah, you know.
So it sounds really... a lot of people say it's still radio quality. Highly commercial. I hate to say it.
One hit.
They're all a hit, dude.
Oh, for
come
sure.
on, they're all a
I'm
hit.
Just saying, in the one-hit wonders, they get a bad
that's
rap.
That's what I keep saying to Jamie.
But that's the Academy
hit,
Award to me, is if you
I'm
get
just,
one song that's
I
like,
want to put them together, put them together, snakes. Put them together. That comes, you know, that's why I push my projects.
Now, how, and I know projects are, they're like I'm trying to do one just by myself, and I would prefer like a full band, but I know that's almost like having its own kind of relationship.
Even getting me and Jamie together to do the 2J's
acoustic
duo,
right?
We have the chemistry, there's plenty
there.
Yeah, me and her's been
rock.
in the studio a few times over the last couple of years. Again, we want to get back in and work on things and finish things.
Right, right.
But it's a question of sometimes it's economics, time, the weather, the
pandemic,
pandemic. Yeah, that's always thrown in there too. Let's blame it all on that. Which
the pandemic
it's 90%
is one
of
the
it.
Only parts that's not the usual.
That really
part.
Has
right. 90 difficulty creating the band.
90% of that has screwed our
that's
lives.
That's the extra
yes.
dye that's thrown in there. Yeah.
90% of that, the pandemic has screwed our lives. Yes. Yeah. So yes, but before that happened, me and Jamie K was 2-3 times a week for 2-3-4-5-6 hours. Don't you think we didn't get some tunes done and a lot of big gains? And that's the way I feel. And again, working with projects, it's tough to even get the 2J's acoustic. But when I want to do that, I want to simultaneously sneak my drummer in, get them drum tracks at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I can turn around and maybe leave that put those acoustic riffs in there, but turn around, put some electric riffs in there.
Yeah, it's fun to
and,
have
and
a
turn
full
it
two J's
full electrics. Add the drums and the bass line and the guitar lines and whatever, whatnot. Extra canaries or drums or whatnot. You know what I mean?
No,
elaborate, I have fun with it.
Oh, yeah. I know that you and the two J's, you're one J of the two J's
yeah.
for sure. And you got some things coming up. We'll get to that some point on, but maybe further down the road. Like I'd like to think of a musical festival kind of idea. I think maybe it would be. You ever see yourself like just loading a van and hitting the road for like 3 months and just getting as many?
Couldn't do that.
Right.
Couldn't do that. Everybody's life is too screwed up to do that.
Right.
Guys and girls, in a hypothetical sense. In a hypothetical sense, being a weekend warrior, which would be like a gig a weekend,
that'd be
cool.
Keep it Ohio, Pennsylvania, maybe.
That kind of thing, but you know, they fall into place. If we can get gigs now, even that'd be before. Again, this has all been a hiatus. We had gigs.
Yeah.
We lost gigs. We lost 6-8 gigs because of, again, the pandemic and whatnot. So it's, you know, we're getting back into the groove again.
Starting to get nice outside almost.
Doing the covers are nice. Some of the guys and some of the girls still want to do them cover songs. I feel let's get in, do our 45 to 55 minutes worth of originals with the backing drums so we can, again, eventually lay our electric tracks and have the 2J's acoustic duo CD. And also simultaneously turn it into 2J's full electric.
Like the dance floor bars. Like Leslie's and Carriage House, but you know, any sound that's a good sound is a good sound wave.
piece.
I love how he does that. Today, Smokin' Joe selected five of his original tracks as this episode's background music.
Oh,
the first one was Night Blues, followed by Just Like Today, Something, a tribute to George Harrison, For the Love of Doing It, and then again, Just Like Today, the acoustic version. Thank you again, Joe, for...
Nice face.
Yeah. Peace, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for coming on our show.
Gotta keep it rocking.
Keep on.
This is Good Sound Waves.
Whatever sounds good.